Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
From God to Nathan to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, we're continuing on through our study. 2 Samuel, David has recently moved the ark to Jerusalem. He has rest from his enemies. And he begins to think of his home in that it is cedar. It is of higher quality than the place where the ark is now located. And he's reflecting upon this and it bothers him. So he calls for the prophet Nathan. Nathan's a prophet, obviously. David states his burden. Doesn't even get to say that much about it. Cites that he lives in a place of cedar. The ark has a tent. And Nathan hastily answers. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that's in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Well, tonight we're going to see that the Lord speaks to Nathan. Because he didn't repeat the words of the Lord. He didn't consult the Lord. He knew God was with David. That was enough. You go ahead and do whatever's on your heart. Well, that's not true. Just because you're walking with the Lord doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. And we saw this in our last study. That's a great idea. Don't do it. There are a lot of good ideas that aren't the will of God for us. They become unnecessary weights. I am convinced tonight if we were to stop and just take requests from the floor, we could do this, 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 and this. But you know what? We have to be careful with the resources we have. I know God can do anything. But there are plans that He has for us, and those are what we must seek His great wisdom. That we would do what He has for us. This is where David is. He has a great idea. As a matter of fact, we're going to see God already has plans for this thing. David, this is nothing new. I've already got an idea what to do with that ark. And as we're going to see, it's greater than anything you can imagine. Which is a fun thing that we're going to see in this. We think we got a great idea for the Lord. And He says, "You haven't seen anything. My plans are so bigger than your plans." Well, God speaks to Nathan at night. David's not to build this place for the ark, and Nathan needs to go to David and state what God had said. There are two great, can I use the expression, themes or points that I see in this passage. One is we're going to learn the office of a prophet. How God is going to speak to Nathan, Nathan's going to speak to David. And we're also going to see in this passage God's plan for an eternal kingdom. We'll see more of that really next week. But for now, we'll get a glimpse of it. Let's read our text, starting at chapter 7, verse 4. "It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Step back on something that's very, very simple here, but personally, I really had to reflect on this. We have what we just read in verses 4 through 17, well, actually 4 through 16, God has given his word to Nathan. Now, did he hear a deep resonant voice from out of the blue?
Nathan.
I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know. I know this, God did it. God did it. That's the important thing. But he spoke to Nathan in chapter 7, verses 4 through 16. God is telling Nathan, in essence, what you told David was wrong. Tell him this. Got it? 4 through 16, God spoke to Nathan. Look at verse 17. According to all these words, according to all this vision, and I believe the vision was the spiritual understanding of the words, so did Nathan speak unto David. Do you want to know what Nathan said to David? Start at verse 4. And it came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan saying, go and tell my... He didn't make the mistake twice. Whoops, the first time I spoke out of turn. I am going to say what God wants me to say. This is so important when we look at this prophet. We see prophets throughout the Old Testament. We have pastors today and people that have the gift of prophesying, setting forth the Word of God. They must handle the Word of God carefully and say what it means. Hence our title, From God to Nathan to David. In our last study, we briefly considered a prophet and a priest. David did not call for a priest, he called for a prophet. A priest is from man to God. The high priest would go in on the Day of Atonement and sprinkle the blood for the people. From the people to God. But a prophet is from God to the people, and that's why you see in chapter 7, verse 4, it came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan the prophet, and a prophet now goes from God to man. And believe me, I believe that Nathan spoke very, very clearly the words that God had for him to speak to David. This is the first mention of Nathan in the scriptures. Therefore, I suppose him to be a young prophet. And I think as a young prophet, that's why he spoke in haste. My goodness, you're a man of God. Look what you just did. You moved the ark. You've been anointed king. God's hand's all over you. If this is what you want to do, man, go do it. And God's saying, step back. Hold it. That's not what I have for him. So he has much to learn as a prophet. We'll hear from him more in the scriptures. He needed, though, to learn a few things. As anybody that has a gift and a calling of God, we have to mature into it. This is where Nathan is. He's maturing into this position that God has called him to do as a prophet. One of the first things that he has to learn as a prophet, people trust him. And that's why David called him. I trust you. And he starts to tell his story, and Nathan says, wow, go do all that's on thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And David believed him. This is something very sobering when you handle the Word of God. Folks, whether you are a pastor or whether you are just a lay person, when you start to share somebody with the Word of God, you better be accurate. Take it very seriously what you're saying. And if you don't know, say, I don't know. Did you know I still say that today? I don't know. I'll get back to you. I don't know it all. We never know it all. If a prophet or the spiritual leader fails in accurately saying the words of God, eventually people aren't going to trust him. And then that's sad to think that some people would lose confidence in church, God, because they have not gotten proper teaching. The prophet, the leader, has spoken out of turn. This is not to be. Nathan needed to learn that God truly does illuminate a man. Do you know what it must have been like that night to all of a sudden have the word of God come unto him? You were wrong. Now, God was very gentle. He was training him. You were wrong now. You're going to have to make it right. You didn't pray. You just spoke hastily. You need to go back to David. Thus saith the Lord. I'm sure he was humbled. I got to go back. Look David in the face and say, whoops. He needed to realize that people listened to him when he spoke. You've set yourself up as a prophet because God has called you to that position. Therefore, Nathan opened up to David the words that God had for him. Nathan needed to learn that as a prophet, he had to guard his words at all time. I have learned that as a pastor. That in the lobby, at a social gathering, I have to watch what comes out of my mouth and what my conduct is. It will affect you. We can affect each other. People do watch. And at all times, we have to be careful as a representative to God, but in this case, especially a prophet. Be careful. Nathan was wrong and he was corrected and instructed by God on what to do now to go back to David. Do you like this? And I hope you find this a great comfort. Nathan has been called by God to be a prophet recognized by a king. This is not just any prophet. Got it? He made a mistake. I want you to consider what God did not do. That's it. You're out. I'm done. I can't believe you did that to the king. God is patient. And God is working with him, and God works patiently with all of us. And yes, did Nathan goof? Yes, Nathan goofed. And God said, Nathan, listen, since when did I ever do this? You go back and you tell David this. Okay. God's patient with all of us. Aren't you glad? We all need mercy. We all blow it. What do you do when you realize God has laid it on your heart, you've blown it? Go to David and make it right. This is where Nathan is. We've also seen times that David has blundered and God still said, I'm working, he's my man. Folks, who in this room hasn't blown it? And God is merciful. We all make mistakes. It's when we have a rebellious spirit we need to look out. But as long as we're truly, honestly seeking God's face, look forward to His mercy and praise His name for it. Well, Nathan's message to David was the very words which God gave to him. I don't think he made the mistake twice. He very clearly repeated, okay, this is what God said. And through Nathan, David was told no. David accepted it. But David also is going to get more of instructions and insights. Why? And this is not what we're here. Why do you come here? Why do we put the verses in your hands? So you can see what God has. And this is why we go over them and we compare Scripture to Scripture. And we review and we consider because we all need to see what God's Word has for us and understand it. It was not enough that Nathan would just say, nope, forget it. He explained. Well, God, through Nathan, starts at the sheep coat, way back when he was a shepherd boy, and the job as a shepherd. And he brings up to the present, And Nathan reveals to him and reminds him, don't you see, God has been in control all along, even when you didn't know it. And now all of a sudden, you're going to tell him what to do with the ark? He didn't need your opinion years ago. He doesn't need your opinion today. David, you must remember and look back and consider your life. God has been in control. Can we not all see that? We look back and we see the times God was there and we didn't even know it. And we see the path at the time it is clouded and we don't understand. Surely we know He's been there. But when you look back and you can clearly see the path that He's taken you, it ought to be a great encouragement to look to the future. David was not to be deciding what to do. God was to do that. He is going to learn now that building this place for the ark was not a good idea because God had other plans. And it needs to be God's way. Well, let's consider this message here. Let's take a look at concerning this place to build an ark. David, it's not for you. Verse 6. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. I mean, this is the way it's always been. Where did David get this idea? Kindly and gently, you tell him that. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes whom I commanded to feed my people of Israel, saying, did I ever say, why build ye not me an house of cedar? I never said it. In the whole history of Israel, where did David get this idea? This was not for David to build. It was for his son. God already had a plan. Folks, God had a plan before you were born. God had a plan before this world was founded. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20? He already established Jesus Christ to be the Savior before sin ever occurred. He's already got this world in His hand. He doesn't need our opinion all of a sudden on how we ought to do things. David, you're not to build it. You're a bloody man. 1 Chronicles gives us here parallel insight. 1 Chronicles 28:3, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. I don't want you to build the house. I did call you to a life of war. And David was a warrior, a great warrior. And it had its time and place, but I don't want you as a man who has shed blood to build my temple, my house. Verse 8, now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Don't you love it? This is what God said. The first time I spoke, man, God's with you, go do it. Now He is speaking with authority. Did you know that Nathan has nothing to say within himself, but when he speaks for God, he has everything to say? You better listen. Folks, as a man, I have nothing to say. When I open the Word of God, I have things to say. Now therefore, verse 8, now therefore, so shalt thou say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. And as I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. David, let's go back and let's see where you've been. It says in verse 8, in the middle of the verse, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep. Let's go back and reflect on what he's referring to. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, Saul is still the king. David is with his father in Bethlehem, out tending sheep. And unbeknownst to David, unbeknownst to the house of Jesse, all of a sudden Samuel shows up. Hey, I need to see your boys. We're going to anoint one of them to be king. Really? So, seven of the sons passed before him. It's none of these. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel 16:1. I'm getting ahead of myself. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So he goes. And it says in verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let me interject a thought. Look at this. The Lord seeth not as a man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance. Therefore, it is important how we present ourselves, because people are looking at us. Well, God looks at my heart, so therefore... No. Who are we supposed to be reaching? People. Man looks on the outward, God looks on the heart, so both are important. Take a look at chapter 16, verse 10. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, verse 11, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Folks, do you understand what's happening? David is out with the sheep and his own father is keeping him from the opportunity to be king. And God says, David, you didn't even know it and I made sure you didn't miss the opportunity. Look back in your life where God was. At times you had no idea what God was doing. But as you look back, you can see he didn't let a mistake happen. And Samuel said, the middle of verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Of course, he comes in and he anoints him to oil. Here he comes in. Yeah, Dad, what do you want? Next thing he knows, some old man's pouring oil over his head. David's tending sheep. Next thing he knows, I'm king? Well, not yet. But God saw to it, David, he didn't need your help to become the king. Second, David, remember how he protected you when you were a fugitive from your own father-in-law? Chapter 7, verse 9, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. Let's reflect back on that one, David. 1 Samuel chapter 19, David is now the victor, he's conquered Goliath, he's got Michal, the daughter of the king is his wife, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Remember that, David? How do I forget that one? Chapter 24, verse 2, then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Yeah, I remember those days running for my life and God protected me and was with me every step of the way. Yeah, when times when you were very close to death, God was there. And God did not let you be harmed. He protected you. Third, David, you need to remember it was God who exalted you to be the king of Israel. Chapter 7, verse 9 at the end, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men are in the earth. You came from a shepherd boy to a fugitive to all of a sudden you've got one of the greatest names on earth. God didn't need your help. So it is, God eventually did fulfill all that he had for David from the sheep coat to the throne, and he's reminding David of all of this. David needed to trust in the sovereignty and the providence of God. The sovereignty means he is King of kings, Lord of lords, and of subject. Providence means he uses it in your life. God does care what happens to you each day. David, do you remember this? Look at chapter 7, verse 10 of 2 Samuel. God speaking, moreover, I will appoint. I will do it. A place for my people Israel. And I will plant them, that they may dwell in the place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Verse 11. As since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people, and I have caused thee to rest from thine enemies, also the Lord tells thee that he'll make thee a house. I'm making you a house. not you making me a house. David, I'm the one who's in control here. I have the plans. David, God is saying, I have worked in the past without your help. I'm going to continue to work without your help. And through Nathan, this message has gotten to David. Now, I've kind of used that loosely, that God doesn't need our help. You know what he needs? He needs our trust, he needs our obedience, and he needs our faithfulness. He doesn't need our opinion. Although we're good at giving to him all the time, right? May not be vocalized, but in our thoughts, you know, Lord, if you would take this away, we can be like David and Nathan and get ahead of God with great ideas. And God says, you don't understand. God's plan is bigger than that of any man. And now he starts to reveal it through Nathan, chapter 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, when you're dead, and when thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, when you're gone, I will set up thy seed after thee. See, David, my plan goes beyond your life. By the way, David, it started long before you were born. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. All these are going to be done in God's timing. Some were for David's lifetime. Some things, such as this house for the ark, are for future generations. Verse 13, he shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This now is getting mind-numbing to David. Did I hear that? Forever? The promises to David are through his son and they extend into eternity. David's son is going to build the temple. Not for you. God had a plan for Solomon. Solomon isn't born. David hasn't even taken Bathsheba in adultery yet. The one who will carry and bear Solomon. 16 of chapter 7. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now we don't have that promise, but did you know that we do have the promise that what we do for the Lord will have eternal consequences? Everything you do, good and bad. No, we don't have an eternal throne as we see Jesus Christ, the Son of David. But we do have eternal consequences in all that we do. And then God assures David that he will be with this son. Verse 14, I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Do you know, actually, surprisingly, there's words of great comfort? Here David is hearing words from God Almighty that he will be with his son. David, of course, has already been provoked earlier in this message to go look back at your life, David. When you were taken from the sheepcote, from tending sheep, you were called to a life as a fugitive. You were the son-in-law to the king, and yet this madman is chasing you around the countryside, even taking 3,000 chosen men to try to take your life. And I was with you. Do you remember those days, how much I was with you, David? Do you remember the times you cried unto me? And do you remember the times I comforted you? Now that David has peace, he's established in Jerusalem, he is set up as the king, he can look back and say, yeah, God was with me all the time and he's promising me that he will be with my son. What greater comfort can a father have that God is going to have his hand upon his son? And there were times David could say, yes, and I blundered here, here, and here, and God did chasten me. But it brought me back to the paths of righteousness. And this is a wonderful comfort that God Almighty is going to look out for my son. And when he goes the wrong way, God is going to chasten him like he chastened me and put me back on the right path. Because I see how I came from a shepherd boy to a fugitive with great enemies pursuing me to the kingship. God did work his plans for me. And I am comforted knowing that my God has just promised me He will be with my son just like He was with me. Nathan's message was, "Thus saith the Lord." And according to all these words and according to all this vision did Nathan speak unto David. David had an idea and he was told no. Did you know it's not recorded that he looked at Nathan and said, "Boy, you were really a fool to say that last night, weren't you?" No. Nathan blew it. Nathan went back. Nathan made it right. David respected it. We're going to see that in our next message. He did believe what Nathan said. He knew he spoke the words of God, and it had an incredible impact on David. "David, I know you want to do something, but I have got plans that are so far beyond what you're thinking. Oh, you move the ark, and this is a great thing. And oh, you want to build a place for it to have a house. But David, I've got plans already, and they're far greater. As a matter of fact, let me give you a hint. You have an eternal kingdom." What? I want you to step back as we think of David's plan for this house, for the ark. He had a good idea. But what does God say, "David, that's not for you"? Listen, do you know what God's will is for you? The obvious. Are you an employee? Could be a good employee. Are you a father? Be a good father. Are you a child? Be a good child. Are you a citizen? Be a good citizen. Are you in the choir? Be a good choir member. Sometimes we look for the will of God in the twilight zone. Boy, I just can't wait to figure out what God has for me. What foreign land am I going to? And God is saying, "You don't understand like David. Think back to where you came from." God did not make a mistake when He created and placed you in time and space. And He gave you the very family and the very physical makeup that would make you to be the person you are today for His purpose in that time, in that place, at that geographic location, in that political climate, in that financial circumstance, and on and on and on. Let's not neglect or negate what God has done. He placed you where you are for a purpose. It's not for us to all of a sudden start striving and trying to figure out what God wants me to do. Do the obvious. And let God take care of building places for the ark. He's good at that. We're not, because we don't see tomorrow. Not only does He see tomorrow, He sees eternity. Not only does He see eternity, before He created this world, He already had a plan. And His plan literally placed you in time and space according to that purpose. Do the obvious. Serve God right where you are and let Him take care of all of the other. Let Him bring that to pass. You be faithful. I want you to stop and think about this. God did not let a mistake be made when He was chosen to be king. David didn't have to make it happen. How many times do we get so preoccupied trying to get something to happen and God has to take us back and say, "Don't you remember?" Folks, be faithful to the little things that you know to do. What is God's will for me today? Be a good parent, be a good child, and on and on and on. Let God take care of places to house the ark.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.